Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believers City Church in Menominee. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believers City Church. Each week, we gather here to rewind our previous Sunday service. This time, we do it in application and in small group discussion. Around Dunn County and beyond this evening, there's several small group gatherings meeting immediately after this broadcast to discuss the application of this message and Sunday's message to their lives and to their world. If you're local, you're probably tuned to 101.7 FM, street level radio. And if you're further away, you're probably tuned to our internet stream or maybe even our regional TV broadcast. But no matter how you got here, we are glad that you are here. Our Sunday service was entitled Abide, with a text from 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Let's get into it.
If you've been with us, we've been talking a lot about the issue of love, because certainly John, the Apostle John, referred to as the Apostle of Love, have been driving home this issue of importance of love. Study after study shows that we are living inside of a growing loneliness epidemic. You see, for the unredeemed, when we read these kind of things, when we are presenting with this kind of a scenario, I indeed would think that it would be, at least it should be, a cause for fear. John has already told us through this letter that it is the presence and the legitimate exercise of Christ's love in us, around us, through us. These things confirm that we are of the truth. It's the smoking gun. Seriously? Trust myself. Even after all the hurt and the lies and the disasters that I have meted out in my lifetime with these hands and this heart, you must be kidding. No, in fact, we will often fall short of perfection throughout our life, really. But the question I would have this morning is, are those spiritual manifests present? That list, are those things present in strength? Are they present in a greater degree than before you claim to be saved? If our worldview is accurately based on God's word, on his character, and on his instruction, then certainly a conscience can be quite useful. And certainly it can be a fairly accurate tool in our walk of faith. But if not, then that very same conscience can take us on some crazy journeys to some faraway places. 5, the Spirit of God will abide in us. He'll live there. He'll take up residence. Many of us, our lives is a series of up and down like a roller coaster. We fall down, we get up, we seek God, he comes to the rescue. Walk okay for a day or two, we push him away, God departs, we fall down, and we start the process over again.
You know, for the Apostle John now, for 3 chapters, has been driving home this subject of love. And not just love in the classic cultural sense, but the higher love of God. That agape love that God loves us with, and moreover asks us to love him in that same manner, and love each other in that same manner. John calls us to not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. True Christian love means loving in deed and in truth. The opposite of in deed is in talk, meaning it's merely lip service, as they say. The opposite of in truth is feigned and faked, counterfeit. To love in word means to merely talk about loving. It means to merely talk about action. But to love in deed means you're actually doing something about it, that you are actually moving because of that love. Agape love involves more than just words. It calls for sacrificial action. To love merely in word or in tongue means to love insincerely. To love in truth means to love with a genuine spirit, from the heart and from my hands and feet in action. To love in this latter mode certainly is expensive. No doubt about that. In Christ Jesus, he certainly knew that well. He exercised that love at a very great personal expense. His agape love was indeed. And it took him to the cross to exercise that love towards us. And again, that's the love that we're being called to exercise one toward another. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, tells us that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So whether we want to respond or like that response, this is the love that we're being called. The love that he exercised on the cross is the same love we are called to exercise towards our fellow man. Now, however, as I addressed in this previous Sunday, this other-centered dynamic, well, it's all but extinct in our current generation, and it is so absent that even attempting to describe such a thing to the younger generation is like, you know, trying to describe things like 8-track tapes and, you know, black and white TVs. Their reply to all of it is likely, no way. I mean, that kind of love practice, well, in their mind, that's a dinosaur. That's a relic. And Johnny takes the time now to lead us in this issue into some very crucial questions. Questions that will reflect our salvation status, will reflect the authenticity or the facade. Questions revolving around whether the reader was actually confident and assured in his or her standing with Christ, or was their heart now troubled because of what John had been saying for nearly three chapters. It certainly is strange that one must be encouraged, if not flat out instructed, to be self-reviewing, to be introspective with one's life. For John, he had been speaking in very clear and emphatic degrees. So this wasn't just simply a matter of tweaking the knobs of our spiritual walk, you know, fine-tuning our discipleship trajectory. No, no. John was calling us out. He was saying this was the true Christian, and that was not. This was the authentic, and that, well, that was the liar. Now, with so much riding on one standing with Jesus, one would think, again, that we would be driven to careful and regular review of our hearts and our lives. And yet, ironically, seldom are people so willing. And frankly, most of us simply prefer to live in blind ignorance, or at least to attempt to do so. You know, one would think that such a reckoning would cause all of us to be greatly motivated to review and to appraise our spiritual condition. If God's love is being perfected in us, we'll have a confidence and a peace that only God can bring. And if we're not in that place of faithful standing, then our hearts will be troubled and unrest
will instead rule our lives. John was saying that this love, this agape, well, it is and was the smoking gun, the evidential confirmation of our standing with Christ. It is, because no one can fake this kind of love. Okay, this level of love, it can only be present if the Holy Spirit of God is also present in us. And if such is present, if he is present, so is the reality of the Holy Spirit in that person, and thus so is one's salvation. Now, if such is absent, John says, so is the Spirit absent, and thus so is salvation absent, and so is eternal life absent. Look, our conscience is, in these matters, is sure to enter the playing field at some point. We are aware of at least the idea of a conscience convicting us, to speaking to us, if you will. However, this can be a good thing and be a blessing, but it also can be simply open up another can of worms, because we can often struggle with discerning whether the Holy Spirit is convicting me and my conscience, or whether I am just unjustly beating myself up for any and all shortcomings, which we all are going to have. I mentioned on Sunday that ascertaining where one stands on this matter, it's critical. For if I'm ignoring sin, look, I'm in danger of eternal damnation. Yet, on the flip side, if I'm paralyzed due to self-condemnation and unsubstantiated doubt, I will never get on the field of play, and I'll never fulfill my personal calling, and I'll never finish my mission on this earth. I'll just, be the guy who spends his life in the fetal position in the corner of the room. One thing we need to do is seek for honest manifest of the Spirit of God in all of us. Because if we are really reborn, then the Spirit will live in us. And if we're not really reborn, well, the Spirit will not live in us. And thus we will not manifest the fruit that comes forth from a possessed life. We gave the list on Sunday. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, it tells us the fruit of the Spirit, we could say evidence of its reality, of his presence. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of a Christian. So, look, be bold, ask the question, is that fruit present in your life? Are these spiritual manifestations present? And are they present in a greater degree than prior to my salvation? Are they present in a greater degree than previously in my walk? Meaning, am I increasing in these gifts? Am I growing stronger? Am I growing more fruitful as I move through this life? Or am I just simply slipping backwards? You know, the absence of the Holy Spirit will result in the loss of conviction, an increasing distance from the voice of God, a spiritual dryness, an increased anxiety and strife in my life, a consistent compromise in my life decisions. So again, I ask, are those things present instead of the fruit of the Spirit? Again, one cannot exclusively trust one's conscience. When it comes to these things, we cannot arbitrarily be trusted to see the truth. We need to seek for evidence. We need the facts, not evidence of perfection status, because that's never going to happen in this life, but evidence that you are becoming more and more like Jesus, which is the primary job of the Holy Spirit within us. So if he's in there, that's going to happen. Many of us are beaten up by our consciences on a regular basis when we don't have any cause, and others are seemingly free from the inner voice speaking against their lifestyle when they are factually still given over to the flesh. Verse 24 tells us, he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. Meaning, he who feels bad, gang, it's not he who feels bad is still lost. And he who isn't bothered by his conscience is a saint. That's not what John is saying at all. He's saying, what do the facts say? Verse 24 says, by this we know that he abides in us. What's the this? By the Spirit who he has given us. Therefore, we can know we are abiding, not by our conscience, but by the living presence of the Spirit that is given to us to walk this path with us. That Spirit communicates through the Word of God, and we hear him and move accordingly through grace and forgiveness, wherein we are humble and further impassioned, through discipline and correction. And we take that hit and we keep moving forward. Through the fellowship of community, wherein we hear our brothers and sisters as they speak into our lives. And yes, indeed our conscience, if it is grounded in God's truth, on the facts of what is genuine.